If you're listening on the Spotify playlist, that was Rage Against the Machine with their 2009 UK Christmas number one, Killing in the Name. And this is The Chain, a podcast about all the different things that can link songs together. My name is Britt Aylin, and you can yell at me online pretty much everywhere at the username Britt Aylin. This podcast can be found at The Chain Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and also thechainpod.com. Last episode, we took a journey from The Chain by Fleetwood Mac through the world of digital downloads on singles charts and Facebook chart campaigns through to Rage Against the Machine's debut single from 1992, Killing in the Name. Now, this song's been front of mind recently, not only due to the Black Lives Matter protests and discourse brought on by the murder of George Floyd, but also because of a viral tweet from a seemingly ignorant fan. A few weeks ago, Scott Castaneda, who has since deleted his Twitter account, tweeted at Rage guitarist Tom Morello to express his disgust at Tom's political agenda.
At T. Morello, I used to be a fan until your political opinions came out. Music is my sanctuary, and the last thing I want to hear is political BS when I'm listening to music. As far as I'm concerned, you and Pink are completely done. Keep running your mouth and ruining your fan base.
Ignoring the Pink thing just because Rage Against the Machine and Pink are on two very different levels, it's hard to believe that any native English speaker could listen to a Rage Against the Machine song and not understand the band's politics. Tom Morello agrees. He replied to the tweet saying, "Scott, what music of mine were you a fan of that didn't contain political BS? I need to know so I can delete it from the catalogue." Lyrically, Killing in the Name was somewhat inspired by the acquittal of four white police officers who tasered and beat a black motorist who they claimed resisted arrest. Rodney King was pulled over while allegedly speeding through the San Fernando Valley. He was unarmed, yet the officers beat him with their batons over 50 times until he was bloody and bruised. Captured on camcorder by a witness, it was an horrific display of racism and police brutality. Within hours of the acquittal, what began as civil unrest in southern LA ultimately became the 1992 Los Angeles riots. This is the backdrop against which Rage Against the Machine wrote what would become their breakthrough single. In today's show notes, I'm linking to a variety of resources around Rodney King's story as well as the current Black Lives Matter movement for both the US and Australia. This will include a reading list, social media accounts worth following, and suggestions of how you can help. If there's anything you think I've missed, please get in touch. Now, back to the song. Here's Tom Morello for Laneway talking about how he came up with the iconic riff.
The main riff I actually came up with when I was giving a guitar lesson to someone else. I was teaching them how to do drop D tuning. And I was showing this young man how to do that, and I just played. And I was like, hold on one second. I got my little cassette recorder, and I pressed record, saved that for myself, brought it to rehearsal the next day, and the boys collaboratively made a song called Killing in the Name out of that one.
So let's talk about drop D tuning. I've roped in a friend to help here. Reese Oteri is a musician and a far better one than me. So Reese, take it away.
Drop D tuning is a really common alternative tuning for the guitar. Generally speaking, the standard tuning for a guitar is E, A, D, G, B, E. And drop D tuning does exactly what it says. You get the lowest string, which is an E, and you drop it down to a D. That's it. And this is, you know, preferred by a lot of musicians in kind of heavier genres because you'll get a deeper, darker sound. It's got a bit of heft to it. It opens up the bottom three strings. You just play them straight open and you've already got a chord. You've got the D5. It means you can play chords and certain chord shapes very easily. The power chord, if you like, becomes just a straight finger. So you can move very quickly between chords and create really fun riffs. Yeah, so that is drop D tuning.
Thank you, Reese. That riff that Reese played is from Spoon Man by Soundgarden, written in D major. It's played entirely in bar chords on the bottom three strings of the guitar. As Reese mentioned, this is one of the cases where drop D tuning comes in handy. And the list of songs written in drop D tuning is near infinite. You'll come across it a lot within heavier genres. For example, Kashmir by Led Zeppelin is played in drop D, and it's a great example of the blues and folk influences on their music. Some heavy acts take things further, dropping to D flat and C, even lower, but that can be explored another time. The influence of the likes of Led Zepp and Black Sabbath can be heard in the use of alternative tunings by 90s rock and grunge bands, with tunes like Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun, Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box and All Apologies, and Foo Fighters' Monkey Wrench and Everlong, all written in drop D. While drop D tuning has a history in classical, folk and blues guitar, one of its early uses in mainstream rock and pop music comes from the Beatles, who in turn learnt the technique from Scottish folk musician Donovan.
The chord structures that I had learned from flamenco, classical, early New Orleans blues and folk were chord structures that these three guys in the Beatles hadn't really experienced much. And the chord structures also entered the new songwriting. And these styles and these chord structures, they wanted to learn them all. And it was really cool to pass these techniques on, not just for the White Album, but for the millions of their fans who would pick up a guitar and learn the same style from listening to John and Paul. And so it goes on. I learned it from my teacher, who learned it from his teacher, and I pass it on to those guys, and then they pass it on to millions of people. And that's how it works.
That's Donovan for Rolling Stone magazine. He was in India at the same time as John, Paul, George and Ringo, and they were all studying meditation under the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi at his ashram in Rishikesh in the foothills of the Himalayas. They were joined by Mike Love from the Beach Boys in a class of 60. Mia Farrow and her sister Prudence were there too, but we'll get to them in a moment. This was February 1968, 3 months after the release of the Magical Mystery Tour, when the band was just beginning to write for the White Album. They had denounced drugs in favour of transcendental meditation. Here's Paul McCartney interviewed by David Lynch in 2010 for the Transcendental Meditation YouTube channel.
You would just go for, wake up, you would then go for breakfast in the morning, a light breakfast. You just socialise a bit with the other members and just get to know each other. And then you would go back for your morning meditation. You'd go back to your room. And we had little chalets kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Each of us had little rooms, mm-hmm. which were very simple but adequate. And you would just sit and you would meditate. And then it was lunch. And you'd socialise and chat and stuff. And then you'd meditate in the afternoons. And that was kind of, that was the sort of thing that happened each day. Uh-huh. We had our guitars with us.
Right.
So we would do quite a little bit of writing. It was inspirational.
Here's Donovan again from Rolling Stone magazine.
After we meditated, after we ate our health food, after we chased the monkeys off the table, we would play, and as I picked, one day John said, "How do you do that?" I said, "What?" He said, "That guitar picking." I said, "Well, let me look," because I'd forgotten, actually. I was just doing it naturally, but I had to slow down the guitar picking to remember how I was taught. And I said to John, our teacher, "But it'll take a few days." He said, "I've got time down here in the jungle." And so he did. And we sat down, and John learned it in 2 days. I took 3.
Now, there are many stories that can be told about the Beatles' time in India, from tensions within the band and Ringo's suitcase full of baked beans to the supposed curse placed upon John and George after they denounced the Maharishi. I'll put some info on all of this in the show notes, and I'll share some more on social media. But there is one story that we do need to briefly talk about today, and that is the story of Prudence Farrow. Prudence's older sister, Mia Farrow, was in the midst of separating from her husband, Frank Sinatra, when she decided to join her sister Prudence and brother Patrick to study with the Maharishi in India. Prudence had already studied the transcendental meditation technique at UCLA a couple of years earlier and took it very seriously.
Maharishi set it up so that the people who lived in close proximity to each other, 3 or 4 of them, would look after each other. And in my case, I was divided into a group of 3. We were called course buddies. And my course buddies were John and George. After a lecture in the beginning of the course, we would go back to our rooms and discuss together the, what was covered in the lecture.
That's Prudence Farrow from Witnify on YouTube. In an interview with Playboy magazine, John Lennon described Prudence as Mia Farrow's sister who seemed to go slightly balmy, meditating too long, wouldn't come out of the little hut we were living in. He went on to say that she'd been locked in for 3 weeks and wouldn't come out, trying to reach God quicker than anybody else. So there you have it, from Killing in the Name by Rage Against the Machine, which Tom Morello began to write while teaching a student about drop D tuning, to Dear Prudence by the Beatles, another song in drop D, which John wrote immediately after being taught that tuning and the clawhammer finger picking technique. Next episode, we'll delve into the world of cover versions as we transition from Dear Prudence to the next song in the chain. I'll catch you then. But for now, if you're listening on the Spotify playlist or in Anchor, here's the Beatles with Dear Prudence.